Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show. I am your host, the coach, Keith Howard, and it is a frigid Saturday morning in the DMV. Perfect time to sit back, relax, grab whatever it is you're eating. I would suggest maybe a bowl of oatmeal, maybe some fruit on the side. That's about as healthy as you can get. But hey, if you want to go with some sweet rolls and a slab of Scrapple, that is more power to you. It's all good. So, hey, listen, we got a great show today. I'm excited about we've had a sports agent on once before and got the opportunity to meet another one, Perlesta Hollingsworth. And Perlesta is going to come in and talk to us about really the day in the life of a sports agent, you know, with so many young people, you know, having questions about money, especially in basketball with the one-and-done rule. You know, should they be talking to agents, and if so, what should they be saying? So we got that going on. And then in the second half of the show, we've got our installment of Fit with Joy, and looking forward to that with Joy Henry. So we got to get right into it, and why don't we get right into it with our pay attention topic? And for those of you that are not familiar with our pay attention topic, it is just one of those items that we see out there, maybe on the back page of the paper, or you got to scroll through the internet and search feverishly for it. But we like to try and put it out there and give some people some shine. And the first one is this Division I AA playoffs. I don't know if you saw James Madison playing last week. They played tonight against South Dakota and the Jackrabbits. And so James Madison defending I AA champions. But yesterday, North Dakota State, Carson Wentz's old school, had their second playoff game in the semifinals of the Division I AA playoffs, and they won 55-13 over Sam Houston State. It was 42-0. I believe North Dakota State and James Madison are headed for a collision course, but if you want to see some good football, don't count out South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits got JMU today in Harrisonburg, Virginia. That's going to be a good game over on ESPN at 4. So I tell you what, people sleep this Division I AA football, but you got to remember now, most of these players are D1 athletes that just chose not to play D1 for whatever the reason. So I think this Division I football, it's getting better and better every year. It's kind of like Canadian football. It's just getting better and better every year, and that's because the talent is so rich in the game. So good stuff there. Second thing we want to talk about. Pro Bowl voting ended yesterday. I tried to vote, but I got to tell you, picking six running backs and this, that, and the other, four quarterbacks, it just took too long, and I got frustrated. But here's the other reason why I didn't finish my voting. I got to tell you, I got to beef with it. First of all, the quality of the game. You and I both know that the quality of the Pro Bowl is probably the weakest of all of the All-Star games in sports. While the NBA All-Star game, we know that there's no defense, guys are also trying to make incredible dunks and incredible three-point shots. And then in the fourth quarter, they actually do play defense. In hockey, same thing, you know, trick shots. And, you know, guys aren't on a line as long, but if you can get a line with, like, Ovechkin, and if you can get Ovechkin and P.K. Subban on the same ice at the same time, that's great to see. Guys are flying up and down the ice. And, of course, baseball is probably the most classic They've got something to play for. B, just trying to squeeze in 27 All-Stars in a 9-inning game is tough. So your window of greatness is very small. But this quality of game for the Pro Bowl, guys don't want to get hurt. And so, first of all, most of the guys that get voted in, they don't play. They don't want to get hurt, or they're contract negotiating or whatever. So, or they're in the playoffs already. So like a Tom Brady, not going to play. He's not going to play in the Pro Bowl. He'll get picked for it, but he's not going to play in it. And so now you've got third or fourth string Pro Bowl guys. Some of them are going to try and make a name for themselves. And the others are like, hey, I'm just hanging out in Hawaii for a week, or in this case, Orlando for a week. So the quality of the game is terrible. And then I don't get the way they select the players anymore. Like the fans select, but then they go out and get these legends. I think LaDainian Tomlinson is a legend this year. He's going to pick some players. Like there's no continuity on how they pick players. There's really no rhyme or reason as to how you make Pro Bowl. Again, it's just kind of a, you know, whoever's on TV the most. So if you're in a small market, say you're the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, I mean, Kareem Hunt, I thought, had a great start of the season. But if you don't see him every week and he's not getting a New York push or an L.A. push or a D.C. push or a Dallas push, he's probably not going to make the Pro Bowl. So I don't know. It's just weird how that thing works. But in my opinion, I'm so done with the Pro Bowl. And lastly but not least, there's nothing on the line. There's no money on the line. And when there's no money on the line, there's nothing on the line. Let's see. Third one we could talk about for a while was that game last night between Oklahoma City and the Philadelphia 76ers. I got to admit, there's 82 games in a season. I'm not a big fan of regular season NBA basketball. I'm just not. But that game last night intrigued me, and it was really Russell Westbrook, the reigning MVP, who intrigued me. And I'll tell you why. First of all, his team won. Oklahoma State won 119-117 in triple overtime. An NBA game never goes in a triple overtime. This was the first double overtime game of this season and probably the first triple overtime game in years. And so that was really neat to see. But what Russell Westbrook did was he basically lifted the play of everyone else. Now, yeah, there was, you know, some jawing back and forth, but really he plays so hard that if you don't play as hard as he does, you'll get blown out. And so it raised the level of a young Philadelphia 76er team. And I was impressed with that, you know, again, Westbrook put it on his shoulders. And it was a really entertaining 2.5 hours. Those fans got their money's worth. I mean, out of 82 games, you might get a handful like this one. And quite honestly, for the money to get into an NBA game, if this is the one you picked, it was well worth it. So kudos to Russell Westbrook and his efforts, and both teams last night. Coaches did a great job and everything. And I think what really put a cherry on the top of this game was a little 80s trash talk. You know, Westbrook was jawing with the Sixers, and Sixers were jawing back, and it just was good stuff. Hard fouls, you know, reminded me of Rodman and Barkley days and the bad boys of Detroit Pistons. And I think the game needs that back. I think, you know, this no foul and, oh, you know, complaining about fouls. I mean, there were a couple fouls down the end, towards the end of the game, down the stretch, that weren't even called. And I liked it. You know, kept 5 more minutes of play going. And really, you walked away feeling like you. So, hey, we could talk about those three things for the rest of the show. But what I'd like to do is get to our pay attention topic. I think you'll like this one because it's one that I've kind of said before, and I don't mind saying again. If you watched the Redskins-Chargers game last Sunday, you would know what this coach is going to say. Jay Gruden has got to go. I mean, this was the most pitiful effort. Now, don't get me wrong. San Diego's at home. Don't get me wrong. They got a Hall of Fame quarterback in Phillip Rivers. Don't get me wrong. They're playing for that wild card spot, that last wild card spot in the AFC. I get it. But come on. don't get me wrong on these facts as well. The Redskins aren't winning. They are regressing. You hear me? They are regressing. First of all, Jay's record is 25-31-1. That's not good. That's not even 50% of the game. Now, yeah, I didn't take a poll. I didn't take a study on this, but last time I checked, guys that don't win 50% of their games usually aren't around after week five. And oh, by the way, year five. Speaking of year five, guess what? No coach has survived to get to the fifth year under the Daniel Snyder regime. So since Snyder's been the owner of the team, no coach has gone five full seasons. Next year, is Jay Gruden think he makes it? I don't. There's no chance. I mean, I just don't understand why. I know that there's some other coaches out there. I look at Todd Bowles. I think he's done an outstanding job with the Jets. The guy's playing with a journeyman quarterback, an unknown running back, and a defense that you can't name one guy. And they're still grumbling about him getting fired. And I just for the life of me don't understand it. Marvin Lewis probably will, you know, not make it again this year. Another guy who's going to get fired. It just seems like to me, and I don't understand why, that Jay Gruden, I guess when I look at it, you know, there's rumor that he's a player's coach. Well, that's not working. I don't see him grinding like his brother, John. I don't see him grinding. I don't see him. A coach always has like a chip, like an edge about it. Again, command and control. I don't see that. He's smiling. He's joking around. I think he'd be okay not being the coach. I really do. I think he has made up his mind, and it probably comes from his beginnings, which were humble in the Arena League, very humble. He knows his last name's Gruden, so he'll always have a job. So it's like, you know, if you fire me, you know, well, he's getting $5 million a year, all right? He's already got most of that contract already been paid up. If they fire him now, he's going to get $5 million to sit at home for another year. So I just think that, you know, this whole players coach thing, I'm not with it. There are a lot of guys that are player coaches. Tom Coughlin in New York, players coach. But I'm going to tell you right now, there was discipline on that team. There is no discipline on this Redskin team. When you look at the penalties that they accumulate, when you look at, you know, guys jumping off sides at bad times, guys making bad penalties, guys still don't know where to line up, there's no discipline. And I think with no discipline, there's very little respect. And I just don't see the players having that run through a wall respect for their head coach. Matter of fact, I'll go as far as to say this. If Daniel M. Snyder said, Jay, if you don't win at home on Sunday versus Arizona, you're going to get fired. I think the players would lay an egg. Not on purpose. I just don't think they care as much because he's just a guy. You know, one of the things that I've noticed about coaches, I've been around some of the greats. The great coaches are called coach out of respect. The ones that are so-so are called by their name. So, and this is high school, college, Pop Warner, you know, Coach Mike. That's what they say, Coach John, Coach Steve. But they still say coach in front of us out of respect. Everyone calls Jay, Jay. No one says Coach Gruden. Now, maybe that's because of his brother. I don't. But at the end of the day, I see a team that's poorly prepared. No real burn to win a game. And I've never seen him motivate anybody. I've never seen Jay Gruden go over and actually motivate the team. I haven't seen that. So I said it once. I'll say it a million times. I repeat, Jay Gruden, and you heard it here first on the Extra Points Radio Show. So that's our pay attention topic for today. Give me some feedback on that. You can always reach me email coach at extrapointsllc.com or on Twitter at extrapointsllc. We're going to come back after this quick break with Perlesta Hollingsworth, and he's going to talk to us about all things sports agent. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show.
I know there's some good guys out there like yourself,
But, I mean, even you all have figured out a way to monetize this thing. I've heard contracts upwards of 40%, almost half of what an athlete's making, the lawyer gets. Talk to us about that.
Right. Well, that's – and I was going – I was going to get to that portion too, because for the NFLPA and the NBPA, those are the National Football League Players Association and the basketball NBA Players Association, they regulate agents. So – in the NBA, let me clear this up right now. The contract states that the maximum that an agent can get on a negotiated contract with a team is 4%. So now that doesn't include endorsements, appearances, other things outside of that contract. So I've heard agents are, you know, charging 20% on a Nike shoe deal or Adidas shoe deal or Under Armour deal. So, you know, you do the math. If this player signs a $1 million shoe contract, then that's $200,000 for the agent. But the NBPA and the NFLPA, they are complicit in making these agents become even more greedier, because they have started instituting these rules that say, look, you have to sign a player within 3 years. You have to sign a contract within 5 years, something like that. So that creates a hustle, you know, a all-out rush to get a player to sign a contract so you will not be decertified. So now these agents, even before, you know, they were doing some of them were doing unscrupulous things to, you know, get players. But even now they make it so that you have to go out there. You have to try to do whatever you can to sign a player to get them, you know, to keep your certification, you know, and also, you know, to, of course, to feed your family. But so the agents
so
are
legally,
definitely complicit.
So legally, you could start talking to, let's pick basketball as an example. You could go out to an AAU game right now and start talking to a kid that's 16 legally, right? You could.
Well, legally, you can.
Could,
so
can you
but,
do that?
So you can, per NCAA rules, you can speak with a player or a family, even, you know, as young as 16 or 15 or 14. You're not supposed to talk with them about your services. So if I was at an AAU game and I could say, hey, kid, good game, great game, kid. You know, I could say, yeah, good game. But I'm not supposed to, you know, agents are not supposed to try to solicit their services to a player or a family until they are juniors in football, until they're juniors in college. So you're not supposed to be doing that. Now, the rules also state that you can advise these families. For instance, I've advised plenty of families on the rules regarding leaving early, and you can advise them on what steps to take when they are trying to figure out if they want to, you know, go into the draft for the NBA or leave early to go to the NFL draft. So you can advise them on that, but you are not supposed to offer your services other than anything else.
So follow up to that then. So I'm hearing, and I'm glad you're on here. We got Perlet Sports and Entertainment Law Firm. I'm glad you're here with us. So now let me ask you this, because I'm reading all over ESPN that there's these text messages and emails and that sort of thing. If I'm, you know, if I'm a youngster, say anywhere from 16 to 20, what can I say? What can you and I say back and forth? That's my first question. And then my second question, the role of the parent. So let's say I'm the parent and I've got a 16 or 20-year-old. Couldn't you and I negotiate some sort of deal because I'm of age? How does that work?
You're not supposed to, again, the agent is not supposed to talk about any of their services to someone who is has not reached the age or their level or their in college to be draft eligible. So the text message back and forth shouldn't be had except to say, great game, you did a great game, something like that. You know, you could talk about a thousand different things, but you cannot discuss your services and what you want to offer and try to induce that player or the family into signing a contract with you. You're not even, I don't think, you know, you're not even supposed to talk about, well, I have this player and I can do this and I can get you this kind of deal. You're not supposed to, that those discussions are not supposed to be had. And of course they are being had. I think most of the parents, most of the players know that these conversations are off limits and illegal. Well, I don't want to say illegal, but not against NCAA rules. So,
right.
You know, it still boggles my mind that some of these parents would, and players, you know, you don't want to go into a business relationship with someone, an agent, that is already breaking the rules. Then that doesn't bode well for the future. If they're breaking the rules right now, what do you think they're going to do 5, 6, 7 years from now when you look at your income sheet and figure out, man, I'm supposed to have 23 million in my, what happened to it? And you know, that's some of these players. You know, we've heard all the stories about players, especially NFL players, end up being, you know, broke, filing for bankruptcy, you know, 4 or 5 years after they retire, because oftentimes they are going into business with these unscrupulous individuals who they knew at the time were breaking the rules when they started speaking with them. So I don't understand why you would even start off going into a relationship when you know that the rules aren't being adhered to. It makes no sense to me, but rules, things have changed.
It happens every day.
It happens every day.
Times have changed. Let me ask you this question. Back to the money piece. You use the example of $1 million. So let's say an offensive lineman drafted in the 4th or 5th round is probably only going to get $1 million on his rookie contract. So you charge him a percentage, and so you'll end up with like $200,000. But what does he get? Like, what are you doing that costs that amount of money?
You use the term
services, right? Services.
Mm-hmm.
What
right.
are these services?
Right. Well, the services are first of all, you have to ensure that they get drafted, and you try to make sure that they get drafted by the team that will best utilize their abilities. Okay, so for offensive linemen, you know, that's probably not the best example because they have, you know, two jobs, you know, so, you know, run block and pass block. But for these other individuals, and especially, you know, for, you know, these athletes, you know, a receiver that can also play a little running back or that can also, you know, do kick returning duties and things like that, punt returning duties. Well, you want to go to a team that is open to utilizing your skills. So what an agent should be doing is figuring out which teams are utilizing players to the best of their ability. You know, if they are able to, for a long time, Pittsburgh had a couple of players that were, you know, they would put them in at the quarterback. They would throw this guy out at the receiver position. They would put them back at running back. Even now, a couple of teams still do that, you know, and they allow players to not just play one position. They allow them to play multiple positions. So it is up to the agent to make sure to identify, you know, those teams will be able to best utilize their talents. So, you know, at the end of the day, then, you know, you could argue that, hey, my player, you know, plays 50% of the snaps. So he's very important to your team. We want more money at the end of the day. So that's one service.
Mm.
You have to identify those teams that will best utilize your player. The second thing is, of course, you know, making sure that they are doing what they're supposed to do outside of the game. You know, are you secure with where you live in? Are you paying your bills on time? Are you eating healthy? Are you making sure you get enough sleep?
Wait a minute. So you're telling me that a guy's going to pay you, he's going to pay you to manage his money, his checkbook?
Sure, and yeah, because, you know, even
– wow.
So most of these
now,
guys,
I've
had people that are not money managers in the sense that they invest your money, but
right.
Most agents aren't financial advisors. So there are also financial advisors that are certified by the NFL PA. So they are the people that will invest your money, and you know, they go through a screening process. I don't know how strenuous that process is, but they get certified by the NFLPA. So those people, I advise my client to say, when it comes to those, I'd say these are the four or five people I work with. They're reputable. You know, they're not taking money. It's all a risk. If you invest your money, it's a risk that it's not going to.
You can lose
money.
If you do it yourself,
right.
It's a risk.
Right. But so those are the financial advisors that invest the money. There are also other companies that will take a fee for paying your bills, making sure that you are on a strict budget. So, for instance, I have one player with the Rams. He's a rookie, and he makes the rookie minimum, so which is this year $493,000 a year. So they get paid per game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, this guy has – we want to make sure that, you know, that at the end of the year he has – you know, he hasn't blown through his money. So these people will say, okay, they get paid every game. You get 16 games, not including the playoffs and things like that. So there's 16 games, you get paid $400,000. You got to make sure that you budget your money because you're not going to get paid after February if you don't make it to the Super Bowl. So after February, you know, so for most players, after January, you're not going to get paid again until you play in the next game in September. So you got to make sure your money has been budgeted correctly and you're on a budget so that your housing is paid, your meals are paid for, you know, you have an allowance. And even for adults, you know, it could be hard for them to stick to a budget.
Oh, yeah, most
but
of them blow right through it. Yeah, they blow right through
right,
it.
But
if they see a car,
right,
they won't, they just buy it.
Right. So, but especially for these, you know, for people 21, 22, 23, he'll come out and they see a check, you know, with $30,000. Like, oh, my God, I got $30,000. What am I going to do with this?
Right.
And that's a rookie, you know, and this is a rookie. So this is not a person who's making $1 million a year. This is a guy who's making a hell of a salary, at, you know, if he gets paid $30,000 per game. But that's not going to last all year. You're not going to get paid that every week. Because you're not going to play,
right?
You know, from January.
Not only that, but correct me if I'm wrong, but some of these contracts, there's language in there around injured reserve, of course, the player conduct, this and the other. They may not even make calls. And then, of course, they could be cut at any time because it's not guaranteed.
So you got to make sure that, you know, if you get put on the IR, usually on the IR you get paid your salary, but if you get waived or cut, then you're not getting that salary anymore. And you know they.
Right.
I like my player to understand. Look, this is not a lifetime job. You know I think the average career for football is 5 years. So you got to have a plan after 5 years. You know, at least, you know, and so you got to be prepared to do something else after 5 years, even if you can last 6, 7, 10, 15 years. And your example of the offensive lineman, those are the players who generally last a lot longer than most players because they don't get injured as much. I don't know why.
Right.
They're the biggest dudes out there, but they still
They don't do anything.
Right.
They run 3 yards of play.
3 yards, right. Their careers tend to last longer. And so, but everyone else, you know, they're high impact every play. You know, you're getting hit and hitting every play. So injuries are happening, you know, and you have to realize that next year there are 380 guys coming out who want your job. So
your job,
there might be cheaper.
Maybe even cheaper.
And they will be cheaper. Exactly. And they will be cheaper.
Right.
And in both leagues, you know, I'm just strictly talking about the NFL and NBA because I don't represent any other guys in any other leagues. But in the NFL and NBA, they put a premium on younger guys. For whatever reason.
You
know, especially in NBA, you know, they have a senior who's coming out as opposed to a one and done guy from Kentucky, like Malcolm Brogdon, I think is his name, from Virginia. Great player.
Yeah.
Great player. It lasted 4 years, had a great career, ended up going to Milwaukee. But he didn't go as high as some of these one and done guys, even though he has a resume that shows he can do it, but he's 22 or 21. These other guys are 18. that 3 years, I don't know why these teams think that 3 year difference between 18 and 21 is so huge, because it's not. I mean, there is no comparison to an 18-year-old person and a 21-year-old person. The 21-year-old is physically more advanced, you know, emotionally and mentally more advanced usually, but that's the premium they put on, you know. So you're right.
Yeah, there's
a younger guy coming in.
Do this mm-hmm. for me. We've got Perlesta Hollingsworth from the Hollingsworth Sports and Entertainment Law Firm. We got about two more minutes with you. If you could, I've got one thing I want to ask you, which is just by trade, by training, by background, how do you become what you are, which is a sports agent? And then I got a request for you from your L.A. Ram player. I'm going to give him an easy homework assignment. But tell me real quick, by training, how do you get to your job?
Okay, there is no rule book for this. Everybody's path is probably different up until probably 4 or 5 years ago, when both leagues changed the rule to say that you have to have a advanced degree. It used to be that you didn't have to have a degree at all. Then they made
right,
it that you had to at least have a
–
right. Then you had to have a degree. Now they're saying that you have to have an advanced degree. So you not only have to graduate from college, you have to go on to graduate school and get a degree. It doesn't say where, but you have to get an advanced degree. So you have to have a degree. You have to have an advanced degree. And you have to take a test. Now both leagues, and I think baseball does now, that you have to take a test. Luckily in the NFL, the test is in D.C., so I didn't have to travel anywhere. But you have to take a test. You have to pass the test with a certain school. They give you the collective bargaining agreement. You have, you know, they give it to you March, April, you know, and that's almost like the tax plan. It's 1,000 pages. You have to try to get that in your head before the test in July. So that's the path. You have to graduate from college. You have to get a graduate degree, and then you have to take the test and pass the test. Then you have to get a player. So once you do that, you know, then that's the path. Everybody's path, like I said, is different. Especially for those older agents who did not have to take the test or even have a degree. You know, they are grandfathered in. So,
right.
But for everyone else, now that's the path. And I've met plenty
so
of people.
So now your player,
you know,
you said, I'm sure you have, who didn't do that, and they got grandfathered in. So now your player, you said L.A. Rams, correct?
Right.
Okay. So this is his small homework assignment for Lester. Let's see now if he follows instructions of his agent. All right? So you let him know that he and I have the same agent, which is you, and that he needs to go to the running backs coach, Skip Pete, and tell Skip that Keith Howard from Pitt is trying to get a hold of him. Call me back.
Okay, Skip Pete.
Yep,
all right.
Skip Pete. Skip and I worked together at the University of Pittsburgh, and I've been trying to get a hold of him since he went to L.A. I used to keep in touch with him when he was the Bears and Cowboys, and since he's been in L.A., I guess he's a big shot. So,
you know, everybody
now,
goes Hollywood once they get to L.A.
Everybody goes Hollywood. So I just announced on the show right here, Blockbuster, you just picked me up. There you go. See? So
there
now
we go.
I'm represented by the law firm of Hollingsworth Sports and Entertainment. I love it. Hey, Perlesta,
right.
We love having you on. I want to have you back on because I got a million questions. I also want to have you on where people can ask you questions, because there's some young athletes out there that I know that are dying to get to you and ask you some questions. So would you be open to that down the road?
Oh, no doubt, Coach. I'm happy to do it. I was hoping I'd get a you know, invite.
Oh, well, you got it. You got it. Anytime, you're a friend of the show. So now you just got to go find Coach Howard some money.
We'll do that. We'll do that.
All right.
All right, Matt. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks a lot, Perlesta. All right. Perlesta Hollingsworth, the Hollingsworth Sports and Entertainment Law Firm, located right here in the DMV, right in D.C. So, look, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to let Chuck remind us why we're here. And we'll be back. We got to talk some fitness, man, because I can tell you right now, the clock's ticking. January 1's almost here. So we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show.
Trying to get their best look out there for 2018. So I just say, with again the wit aspect, is just set a goal. I know as millennials like to say goals, but you really have to be committed to them. And that being the case, you have to set your heart's desire and either write it down on a piece of paper, like the innovative generation that we're in with information and technology. You can create a vision board if you like the physical approach and put it on your mirror. Or even go on social media and share it. Get a Pinterest and look at different outfits that you like to wear or different celebrities. And I know that necessarily people want to look like others, but the individual approach is really what you want to do. So that being the case, you got to be smart with that. You got to be, and that's where the wit is emphasized.
Now, wow, Joy, you just mentioned something. You just tapped into something that I got to tell you, and I'm sure our listening audience was surprised to hear that in this you know, me society. But, you know, you're right. So many people want to look like someone else. But you're encouraging people to become their own brand and their own selves. Just talk about that a little bit more. That's an interesting concept, and you don't hear it often.
Well, again, with the whole individualistic society, instantaneous and attention getting, and we have that opportunity to do so in our fingertips, and the body shaming and the image and all these things, it's amplified from magazines to now being able to click and see different things. So when you establish a goal, it's got to be smart, and I keep emphasizing smart because fit with joy, you put the emphasis on the wit, and that's the basis of it. It's what I call, and I use the acronym of well-intended thoughts. So you want to be conscious about that for yourself. And everyone has their own levels of fitness or how their body type is. And so you want to set those goals according to that model, which I derived the WIT from. And that's specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and timely. So those five pinnacles of setting that goal to be able to achieve it and feel good about it is what you need to be setting out for yourself.
Now, wow, lastly, first of all, we've got the Joy Henry Fit with Joy on the Answer Points Radio show. First of all, I said when I started this show, I did not want to be the smartest person on the air. And I can tell you, from Perlester to Joy, I'm not the smartest, and I'm okay with that. So now let me ask you this question. We mentioned last week that we wanted to hear from you, you know, kind of practice what you preach here, what your goal was for 2018, and specifically around, you know, your Fit with Joy concept. So not only are we going to ask you to unveil that now, everybody's waiting anxiously, but then I want to know how you got to that goal and why. So without further ado, we don't have a drum roll. We do have this. Well, wait, no, we don't. We don't even have a button for any drum roll. Again, that's why I need for less than a... Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. What is your Fit with Joy goal for 2018?
That will do. I actually was going to say you're stealing my thunder because I was going to ask you for a drum roll, but that pay attention button that you used originally in the beginning of the show, it's classic. So I'll go with it. So and that being the case, I'm going to launch for those frustrated and those at their wit's end and needing further assistance for lifetime improvement. In 2018, I'll commit to a culmination of 1 minute videos per month of 50 seconds Fit with Joy tips on a weekly basis. So that goal that I just said fits into the WIT, the well-intended thought of a SMART model. It's specific, it's measurable, it's achievable, it's relevant, and it's timely. And you definitely want to be able to achieve your goal. And it's a lifestyle. That's what I want to emphasize. It's something that you're continually on this journey to do. You're not just trying to get a get-fit-quick scheme. You're not overnight Halle Berry or Serena Williams. You're trying to achieve something that's within your reach.
Man, I'm loving it because I love the concept of the SMART goal. That has worked so many times in business. As well as in leisure, so that's great. Let me ask you this: last week we picked some games, and part of being fit is making sure that you're not betting wrong on games. And if people took you and I to Vegas, we'd do pretty well. I was 4-1; you were 3-2. I think we were doing pretty well. Do you have time to stay with us as we predict some games?
Of course, Coach. I got my wits end about me, and so I think that I'll be able to put some brain power to these predictions again.
All right. Well, let me give a quick two-minute warning here, right here, right now. And I talked about, not being the smartest person on the show. And really, that's a humble statement. That's really what that is. It's okay. If you look at successful people, they're okay putting smart people around them. And that's what we do here at the Extra Points Radio Show. That's what we've done with all of our guests. And these two guests, Perlesta Hollingsworth and Joy Henry, are no exception to that rule. So be okay with not being the smartest guy in the room. All right, there we go. So now let's look at our predictions, Joy, for this upcoming week. I picked some tough games here, so let's see where we are. I got in the Celebration Bowl. All right, which is coming on here shortly in a few minutes. I got Grambling losing today. Oh, wait a minute here now. I didn't put the team. No. Not Celebration Bowl. I'm sorry. The R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. There we go. I've got North Texas, the Mean Green, over the Men of Troy down in Alabama. Who do you have in that game? North Texas over Troy.
Well, Coach, just to add a little tidbit about what you said about not being the smartest person in the room, and I think that's awesome that you highlight that. I do want to say that the wit aspect is well-intended thought. So it's not about being a brainiac, not being that book smart, common sense, street smart, or whatever. It's about having those well-intended thoughts and that positive motion, that positive energy that's going to allow you to apply it. So you can be a fit wit, you can be witty, you can have the well-intended thoughts that the acronym suggests. So with that being said, I'm rolling with the Mean Green of North Texas. I think that machine is going to steam over the other team. I don't even – Troy, that whole army or legion of people, they're not going to be able to stop that machine. That Mean Green, I'm going with them. I'm jumping on that train ASAP.
All right. I thought you were going to go with the Mean Green because they make you run, and you know what kind of run I'm talking about when you get green. But next stop is James
good.
Madison, 1AA James Madison, over South Dakota.
Here.
Right. There you go. James Madison in a 1AA semifinal over the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State. What say you?
Well, I saw the other Dakota team, North Dakota, just tumbling their opponents. Can't remember who they were playing, but it was a slaughter. But still, I'm going to stay with the locality of Virginia and go with the Dukes duking it out. And it's going to be a close one, though.
Okay, good, very good. And then we got NFL now. My favorite player, Larry Fitzgerald, is in town this weekend. Strength coach Buddy Morris is an old Pitt guy. I'm going with Arizona Cardinals in a meaningless game over the lowly Washington Redskins. What say you?
Well, I heard what you said about Jay earlier. And, again, the way the team played, I think that they're just going to continue to, unfortunately, without saying, lay down. And the birds will fly over the Cardinals, over Skins. And, yeah, it's going to be like a vulture kind of thing. They're going to pick them apart.
All right, very good. And then we got what some are deeming the game of the year in the NFL, the New England Patriots defending Super Bowl champions against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I've got Tom Brady not losing two games in a row. They looked awful Monday night. I got New England winning that. What say you?
That's a really tough game, I think, of the ones we just talked about so far, especially because you've got these story quarterbacks. Of course, you've got arguably the best of all time on one side in New England, and then you got Roethlisberger that has just been shattering numbers and throwing to Brown, and then you got another option with the run game. So I think because of the defense losing Ryan Shazier, they might be over just hyped up to continue to send him those FaceTimes while he's recovering and give him that game ball and that W. I'm going to go with the Steelers. It's a risky pick in a sense because you don't go against the MVP, the Super Bowl guy. I go with Ben. I usually only go against the Patriots when the Giants are in town and Eli's swinging that ball around. I don't know what's going on in New York, but safe to say I'm going to go with the Steelers.
All right, you got it. And then this one I really need your help on because I'm just not a basketball head. But OKC, who looked great last night, I got Carmelo's coming back to the Garden, but that who cares? They're going to boo him out of the gym, but he's going to win the game. I got OKC over the Knicks. What say you?
Speaking of New York and just the organizations and stuff, I can't name a Knickerbocker right now after the one Carmelo left and went to OKC. And I did see the game last night, the triple OT. That was epic and great bargain for those people who got their bucks worth. I would say that it will be the Knicks fans over Carmelo. So it's going to be a totally different game. being played, not just OKC basketball players versus the New York Knickerbockers. There's actually going to be the New York fan base, those real born and raised New Yorkers, transplants, whatever you want to call it. They're going to be angry that he left, and there's going to be a whole bunch of side shows going on, and no one's really going to be watching them get annihilated with the big three that just went over there with Paul George, PG, and Russell, and now Carmelo, of course, the former guy. But I'm really going to be watching to see how the media covers this, honestly. So I kind of took care less because it's like a meaningless. The Giants are 2-10, and they're looking for a pick. I really didn't like the way that they handled getting Melo the pieces or not. But I appreciate Porzingis. I like his professionalism as he's going through it, and he reverenced Carmelo and his mentorship. So I'm definitely going to go with OKC, but I'm mainly looking to see how the fans are going to get back at Carmelo.
Well, you know, I'm actually shocked that a New Yorker would go against their team, but I think that shows your acumen as far as sports, that you get it, that OKC is just the better team right now. Let me throw you one more. Speaking of New York, I want to stay in upstate New York if I could. Last week I mentioned on this show that do not buy Georgetown Hoya basketball until the Big East regular season starts. They got Syracuse today, 12:30 tip-off. What say you on that one? I got Syracuse.
I listened to your show last week, of course, as I was on it, and you did make a great point. The Hoyas are undefeated right now, but they're decidedly so against opponents that didn't really match up. So this is going to be a big test in the Big East. You got the Orange versus the Hoyas. You got Patrick Ewing. He's trying to bring this tradition back to the area and the greater Washington and that kind of atmosphere. It's going to be here. And when I actually attended a game and I was with you, we didn't see much of the crowd getting into it. And like a New Yorker, and as I said, we're going to get back at Carmelo. For whatever reason, that's just what we do. But I don't see the fan base the same way it was in the 90s. When you had Allen Iverson, you had those same guys on the court that were going at it. And so I'm not sure about the rivalry. We're hoping that it can be restored with Patrick there. He's, again, was on the New York Knicks. And so got a lot of things invested in it. But I'm going to stay with New York on this one. This New York side will be the Orange, and that's going to be upstate in Syracuse. I can do that sometimes. I can go from not just the city, the five boroughs, but I can even venture all the way upstate close to Canton and go with the Buffalo Bills, too, if we're talking football. We want to go to that game. But for this one specifically, I'm going to Syracuse. I'll be with you.
Well, there you go. There you go. So good stuff, good stuff. Enjoy. We hope to have you back on the show in a few weeks here. We're going to be making a major announcement about a brand extension for the show for 2018. We know you're going to be a part of that, so we're looking forward to that. What I'd like to do now is just give out the website here, www.extrapointsllc.com. Coach Howard's already got some speaking engagements for January lined up and ready to roll. So if you're looking for someone to motivate and inspire you, book me. Also, speaking of the book, Extra Points of Life for My Story, book's out there. Buy it. You can get it. It's cheaper. Go to my website. It's cheaper from the website than Amazon. Trust me, I had three people buy on Amazon this week. Don't do that. Buy it from my website, extrapointsllc.com. You can reach me on Twitter, at extrapointsllc. All right. Well, you know what? We're getting ready to sign off here. Great. I want to thank Celeste Hollingsworth. Of course, thank Fit with Joy, Joy Henry. We appreciate her. And as always, the extra point is up.
And it is always.
Watkins has the